so much for joining us on this episode of the LCI podcast. We have a little bit, I'm not going to lie, a heavy topic today here on the podcast, but a needed one, a relevant one. And before I introduce my guests, I just want to give a couple disclaimers that I feel are really, really important when we're going to share experiences about a topic such as this, and that is depression. First off, there are many types of depression. We are going to really hone in on what our experiences are and what they were. None of us are licensed individuals. We are not medical professionals in the field of psychology or anywhere else, actually. We are three people, who I will introduce you to in just a moment, who have traveled a certain road, and perhaps we are continuing to travel that road, and we are sharing our experience. We are sharing what helped us. We are sharing maybe even what didn't help us to encourage someone today who might be on a similar path. And that's really what this is all about. You are not alone. Help can be found. And there is a reason to live. My other disclaimer is going to be that we are not anti-medication. We are not anti-professional counseling. And we do our best to not over-spiritualize things as well. When people are facing things, whether it be physical or a mental issue, it is health, and we want to look at it like that, and we also want to bring God into the midst of everything that we do. So we try to keep all of that in mind and keep a balanced spirit and things biblically based. Last real warning, I guess, would be if you are triggered by discussion regarding depression, even suicide, things of that nature, please wait to listen to this podcast or to watch this podcast until you are ready to hear maybe some things that could help you. Okay? With that, I'm so excited to introduce my guests. And that would be the beautiful Bella. Oh, I almost said Martinez.
No,
poor Joseph. No. The beautiful Bella Gleaves and the beautiful Brianna Walters. It's so great to have you both. We work in ministry together in multiple areas here at Life Church. And it is such an honor not only to have you with me today as I talk about my own journey, but being willing to share little snippets of your journey where it might be helpful or beneficial to others. Thank you so much for that. It is honoring. It is humbling. People go through things like we're going to talk about today. It's not rare. A lot of people are facing some of the things that we are going to talk about today. And yet, not a lot of people want to, in a way, blast it out there. And I know none of us really want that either, but we are God's vessels. And we want to share experiences that just might save a life.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm excited so, to be here and kind of share my story, because it's not mine to keep, it's mine to share, and hopefully my story can help somebody.
Testimony.
Exactly.
Testimony. I agree. I agree wholeheartedly. So with that being said, okay, we're going to start off. So the whole topic here today, The whole topic here today is depression does not define me.
Amen.
And that's a big word, depression. It can mean many things to people. Okay, so as I said, you know, earlier in my disclaimer, there's many different types of depression. So what I'd like to know is, and I'd be happy to share my story as well. When I say, hey, share with us your experience of dealing with depression, it almost feels like I'm asking you to be in a work interview or something. That is totally not the case. I know I'm asking a lot from you. Would you be willing to share a little bit of kind of what happened to you in your life? What was your depression like? You know, was it clinically diagnosed? Was it something you realized was going on? When did you realize it? There's so many questions I could ask, and I really want it to be what you feel comfortable with sharing. So that's why I'm just kind of broadening it and saying, share with me, us, the people listening in, your experience with the word or the symptoms of depression.
Okay, I'll go first. When I had my first child, Harper, I thought it was going to be amazing and had a great pregnancy, had a great support system. And I had heard about postpartum depression, and I was like, that's not going to be me. I've never dealt with it before. I'm a pretty happy-go-lucky person, always looking on the brighter side. And so I didn't understand it personally until just depression in general. I was like, okay, people are just sad. I didn't, because I had never had a personal experience with it before. Okay. And then after I had Harper, I didn't realize it until about 6 months postpartum.
Wow.
And there's a lot of check-ins that you do with your doctor right after having a baby. And they, you know, you have to circle yes or no, or are you feeling sad? Do you have harmful thoughts for yourself or your child? Because they want to make sure you're safe. And in my mind, I was like, oh, yeah, everything's fine. Being sad is just part of having a baby. You know, it's just all the hormones and everything that goes with it. And it's the baby blues or whatever. So I just kind of pushed it aside and I said, okay, this is just normal.
Light of your feelings, right?
And okay. Because I guess I didn't want to accept it either. So I just felt like, okay, this is supposed to be normal. How I'm feeling is normal and it's going to go away after a little while of time. Well, 6 months down the road, I remember I was in the car driving somewhere with Taylor and I looked at him and I was like, I think I have postpartum depression. And I immediately started crying.
Because, and Taylor's your husband.
Right.
Yeah.
So okay. I didn't even realize it until I had said it.
Oh, my goodness.
And he's like, yeah, I knew, you know, and because he can tell my normal from, you know, what has changed a lot. And after you have a baby, a lot of things in your body change a lot, too.
Yeah.
So after that 6 months and realizing it and saying out loud, I started taking action with him and with myself to better my circumstance. And it was a really long and hard road. Nobody, I don't think anybody noticed besides my spouse. And I think that was the hardest part of going through it was because I didn't feel like I was seen. You know, it's a very lonely road going through depression and you feel like a burden, you know. I don't want anybody to worry about me. Or if I said this out in existence, out to other people, they'd be like, well, you need to go on XYZ medication. And that was fearful the last thing I wanted to do.
Like label you know? You.
Exactly. Yeah. So I didn't want to feel labeled, like you said. I wanted to just live my normal life. But in that time, it really didn't feel, I didn't feel normal at all because it was so brand new.
Yeah.
And having a baby is hard in itself, you know, the sleepless nights and that all goes hand in hand.
Well, I can only imagine, too, because I knew you before all of that. And I knew how loving you were, you know, to my children before you were married and how much you loved children. And you know, that's what your career is in children. Yeah. And so knowing what joy your own child would bring you and then to look back and think of all those times where as your friend, I looked at you and thought you were fine. I mean, you faked it well. I'm so sorry. That's not necessarily the best compliment.
I think a lot of people with depression probably do. You know, they fake it. They put on a brave face and they just go about their lives because they don't want to worry people.
You know, true.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that it's important just to kind of, we'll talk about full circle here in a minute, but today at the time of this podcast, Harper is how old?
She is 3.5.
She's 3.5. She'll be four.
We're going on 13.
Yeah, she'll be four soon. And she is. She is something else.
Giving you a run for your money. So much.
Absolutely. And what's incredible about it too, and just a side point, is the Lord had such a way in your life then, looking at it from the observing point of view, because Harper was so easy to love.
Oh, yeah.
And everyone loved her.
She
and
was
she
like
went.
My little baby.
Yes,
she really was.
She was the church baby.
Right. Yes. She was. She went to people.
Yes.
You know, it was almost like God was making sure that while you had to take some time and you had to have some space, that it didn't interfere with her development.
Yeah.
And her connection with her daddy is amazing. Your husband and her are just beautiful. So God has a way of turning our trials into triumphant, you know, victories and all of that.
Absolutely.
So
he took care of the details.
Yes.
Exactly.
And
that's so cool.
We'll kind of come around to kind of what are some things that you did to help you through that process. Yeah. But that's going to be a big thing here today. We're honing in on some postpartum depression. Mm-hmm. I think that's important, like just to not label it, but to also give it a name and the idea of it does not control me. It does not define me.
Absolutely.
That's right.
Yeah. So I think that's good. Bella, what about you, hon?
So mine was very different. So before I dealt with depression, I dealt with a lot of anxiety. And I didn't really start dealing with depression, I think, until it was right after I got married. And I moved to Tennessee with my husband, Joseph.
And you'd been in Arizona all your life
prior
to that?
Yeah, pretty much. I was born in California, but I moved here when I was very, very young. So everything I remember is Arizona. Okay. And I've been coming to Life Church, I think, since I was like 11, 12. So it's pretty much all I really remember. So moving was hard, but I was really excited because I was starting my life with, you know, my husband. We were starting our own family. And, you know, I've always wanted to live in Tennessee for because of the movie Hannah Montana. Talk to me about that later.
Oh, no.
But I was super excited about this. I loved my, I still do, my in-laws, all of them. They're great people. You know, when I would go visit him, like, I loved the church, still do. We ended up moving out there, and we had a little townhouse, and everything was, like, super great. You know, I was happy. And then, I guess, just kind of out of nowhere, I just kind of started getting, like, sad. And I noticed it was when my husband would work, and then he would go work out. And by the time he'd get home, it was already dark, which, I mean, I was fine with it. And but after so much of that, I kind of started feeling like really lonely. And so we got a dog because I begged Joseph. I said, can we please get a puppy?
Yeah.
Keep me company.
I'm lonely. Let's fix it. Yeah.
And he was like, okay, fine. So we got our dog, Jeb. He's great. And I was like, yes, this is, you know, this is going to help me, you know, feel less lonely, keep my mind busy. And he helped for a little bit. But then I kind of still felt really off, and I just wasn't happy when I should have been. I mean, I was married, and you know, life was great. I had, you know, great in-laws. Like, I loved the state I was living in. I had a job, all the things, and but I was still
the perfect life.
Exactly. Yeah.
Somebody
else
looking in on it.
Exactly. Yeah. Everyone else is probably looking at it like, wow, Bella's living her best life, right? Yep. I was not living my best life. And I just kind of started, I guess just spiraling, and I don't even know, like, how it just kind of happened. It just, and the weird thing is I was very self-aware of this situation because of, I have a lot of, I guess, background in depression and suicide and stuff. I had a lot of friends in high school who, lost their battle to mental illness, and that really affected me. So, and I became an advocate. I did a walk.
Yes, you did the
sunset
walk.
Yeah. I did that because I became so passionate about, you know, trying, like, spreading awareness. So when I felt this starting to happen to me, I was like, this can't be happening. Like, no, like, I'm Bella. This doesn't happen to me. Like, I am supposed to be the advocate for this. Like, this doesn't happen to me.
Yeah.
And so I remember my husband, he was like, he kept trying to push me to get help, you know, see a counselor and stuff. But I just kind of kept coming up with excuses like finances, or, I thought I just knew everything because I became this advocate. I was like, I already know everything. It's going to be a waste
like
of money.
Education.
Exactly. Right? Yep. So I was like, I don't need anything.
We know enough to be dangerous.
Exactly. And so I just kind of kept down that road, and it just got worse and worse. I would little things, I guess, would just set me off. And it would be like something as little as, like, let's say, like, I was just having a really bad day and I didn't get to making dinner. My husband is the most forgiving person and patient man on this earth. I mean, if you know me, you know he's patient. And he would just be like, oh, that's fine, babe. But then in my head, you know, I would tell myself, I'm a terrible wife. I'm an awful person. I can't even make my husband food. And
beat
I would literally spiral. Yeah. I was spiraling, where I would end up in like a fetal position and just telling myself like I was just awful, I was worthless. And it even got to the point in these moments where I would like, I just need to take my life. Like those thoughts would literally creep in. And I would tell my husband like, I just why am I even here? Like, you would be so much better. You'd be so much happier without me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he would tell me, no, Bella, that's not the case. No, Bella, that's not the case. And so that just kept happening. He kept trying to push help, you know, trying to be like, you should really get help. And I just kind of kept pushing that away. And then there just came, there came like just one day where he was at work and I was alone. I think I worked at a school. So I think we were like on break and I don't even know what happened to get me into the situation because I just remember just being so dark. Mm. And that day, like I tried to take my life. I genuinely tried to take my life. And I texted my husband and I said, I'm done. Like, I'm not a good person and you deserve a better wife. And I remember him calling me and trying to get a hold of me. And he ended up coming home from work and he ended up reaching out to people, I think here in Arizona. And they were trying to reach out to me. And I ended up calling the suicide hotline because I didn't know what to do. And they were able to talk to me and, you know, kind of back me off of this figurative bridge. And I just remember my husband getting home and I was just laying in bed and I was just numb because in my head I was like, what is going on?
Mm-hmm.
And that was really scary. And when that happened, my husband was on the phone with some of our really close friends that knew what was going on. And right then and there, they blessed us and they signed me up for counseling and they paid for it because they were like, you need to get help. Yeah. And we don't want this to be a burden on you guys. So that was kind of when I started seeing a counselor weekly, and it was through Zoom. And it was, I guess it kind of just got better through there. I got tools.
The talk therapy.
The talk therapy, yeah, it was, I would just kind of talk to her kind of about what was going on. And, that was, I guess, my big, like where I really struggled with it.
That was your deepest.
Yeah, my deepest.
Darkness. Yeah.
Darkness, and yeah.
So now with the counseling, it sounds like that was kind of like the start of we're shifting the ship, okay, right?
Yeah.
We're turning it to go a different direction.
Yeah.
So it sounds like that for you. And for you was more so when you were able to be aware and you said it out loud and you were ready to say, there is a problem.
Yeah. I think it's because I pushed it off for so long because I didn't want to be depressed because I was always just happy.
Yeah, yeah, same.
And so I didn't want to accept it. I pushed it and fought it so hard that was so overcoming because I wasn't able to talk about it to anybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and so, you know, finally accepting it was the point where I was like, okay, I'm in control now.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
this depression
empowering.
No longer is in control.
Right.
I'm in control.
Wow. Yes. And when we can stand up to our own thoughts.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not just the enemy. Okay,
right.
You need
to
stand up to your flesh and to your thoughts,
absolutely.
And you need to be able to say, no, yes, you're saying it, and it's actually in my notes right here, 2 Corinthians 10:5.
Yes.
And I actually like it in the Passion Translation. I'm going to read it to you. We can demolish every deceptive fantasy that opposes God and break through every arrogant attitude that is raised up in defiance of the true knowledge of God.
That's good. I like
that's
that.
Oh, yeah.
That's
and then
so
it says, we capture, like the prisoners of war, okay, every thought and insist that it bow in obedience to the Anointed One.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now,
that's good.
When we can be in a place, whether that's because of counseling or because of medication or because of self-awareness, and now I can see, you know, what's going on and how things need to change, we can get to a place where that word means something to us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it means a lot to us right now because we are in the right mindset to receive it.
Yeah.
And we are in the right mindset to tell any thoughts
exactly
that are being crazy in our mind. No.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly.
Not. I will say this too, and a little bit of my story is, so I am clinically diagnosed with MDD.
Mm-hmm.
And the beautiful thing that I really want to share about my experience is My symptoms began after, it was probably a year after my husband was healed of cancer. And we went through a lot during that phase of life, and I was pregnant. So a lot of things were happening in my body that I never knew, in ways that I was producing enzymes and things of that nature because of the stress in my body, but I wasn't releasing it appropriately, probably. And if anybody's listening, and I want to mention it to two of you as well, I know we can say, oh, well, it's because I was taken out of, well, the reason I have depression is because I was taken out of what I'm used to and put in something new. That's really not. You had been other places before. You've been to Bible school.
Exactly.
It wasn't Tennessee. There's nothing wrong with Tennessee.
Exactly. Yeah. No.
You know, and there's nothing wrong with Harper. It wasn't just like, oh, well, because I had a child, now I have this.
Exactly. Right. Yeah.
But we as analytical beings, we're trying to like pinpoint it so we can then fix it. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. So it helps us to have like a beginning point. Mm-hmm. And so I don't in any way, shape, or form say that, oh, I am depressed because my husband had cancer. No, absolutely not. Yeah. That was, God had a incredible situation that happened in our life, and through it, he was magnified and he was glorified. And that's the whole purpose for why I live and breathe.
Yes.
Right? Amen?
Yes. Amen.
Right. Yeah. So with that being said, but I do feel like that's the starting point for me. And so, you know, fast forward now. So my youngest, who I was pregnant with at the time, is now 13. So it's been 13 years. And it's been a journey of learning, a journey of ups and downs, a journey of lows, lows of, if I had had the physical strength to get out of bed, I don't know that I would be here today. Mm-hmm. And I didn't. I didn't have the physical strength. Mm-hmm. And I'm so thankful, like you said, for the support system around me, for my husband, my mother, saying, you're not crazy. There is something wrong. You need to go get checked. You need to talk to your doctor. Mm-hmm. I'm very lucky. I trusted my doctor. My doctor knew me very well. Mm-hmm. Not a lot of people have that. Mm-hmm. And so you have to be your own advocate.
Yeah.
So when I was clinically diagnosed, we had been through all these other scenarios. Sometimes people can feel like you too, that I don't want to go to my doctor because then they're going to throw prescriptions
at
me.
Yeah.
That's scary.
Yeah.
So I want to encourage you guys and anyone listening that there are good doctors out there.
Yes. Yeah.
You might have to work at finding one.
Yeah.
And I know that the mindset that you're in when you're going through the depth of that depression, it is not about, I have to do research to find who's going to help me. So a lot of time, counseling is a great first step.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't have the same agenda. And I'm not talking, again, I'm not anti-medication.
Yeah, yeah.
Just to be very, very transparent, I'm currently on antidepressants.
Yeah.
And so, and I will probably be for the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
But I've shared my testimony. It was a lot worse at one point.
Mm-hmm.
And God healed me. And when God healed me, and not everybody is going to get a healing, whether full or even partial, but when God healed me, he did not do 100%. And there was purpose behind that. And I was actually sharing that with Bella, just so that she would kind of know, you know, where I was coming from when we were talking about her story. With me, I know that God has this thorn in my flesh that remains.
Yeah.
So I can do this.
Yeah, exactly.
So that I can know the feeling, I can remember the feeling, I can keep the feeling in a way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thankful the part that God did heal would be considered more of a bipolar diagnosis, and I do not rank on that scale whatsoever anymore, which is fantastic. Yeah, thank the Lord for that.
Mm-hmm.
But so for those that are listening, so now we kind of know our stories. I didn't go quite into depth with mine because that's 13 years worth and we could be here all day. But I'm happy to share, you know, so, you know, offline, if you know, it's anything that you want to know, or if anyone listening wants to know, I'm this is part of my calling is to be available. And I think the two of you kind of gave me that indication that if we're going to do this, we have to be available for people to ask us questions.
Exactly. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. I know, and I appreciate that. Now, with kind of going back to, so now we know kind of the dealing with the depression. Give us a little things, because I want to give people tips of what helped us, what didn't help us, because people that are listening are not just depressed individuals, but they're family members of depressed individuals.
Yeah.
There's friends of depressed individuals listening in and watching and wanting to know, how can I help? What can I do?
Yeah.
I remember my mom saying that to me. I don't know what to do. I have no idea how you feel, but I believe that you are in a bad place and I want to help.
Yeah.
And I remember looking at her. She was sitting across the table at our house in Phoenix, and we used to live in Phoenix. And I was like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. So if that person that's in your life doesn't know, perhaps hearing our experiences and now that we're healthier and we're able to explain what may have been even more beneficial for us or not beneficial at all, that's kind of what I want to give our listeners, if that makes sense. So
I think for me, something that like really helped was just having somebody there to just listen to me. I mean, whether that be my husband, which was the majority of the time, it was my husband, or even a coworker. Because at the time, I didn't feel, I didn't share what I was going through with people around me because, you know, I was new to Tennessee and I didn't want people to see me as, you know, this was kind of like my first impression of them, even though they've already met me. I didn't want people in the church or people, you know, from my husband's side of the family to see me and be like, Bella, the depressed person.
I
didn't want them to
see
that.
You don't
want to
be defined.
Exactly.
As that.
And so that's why I hid it. And I didn't want to share that with them, even though looking back now, they wouldn't have labeled me that way.
They love you.
Exactly. Yeah. Looking back now, they would have been there for me. They would have, you know, helped, you know, get me out of the house more. They would have offered their help more. And I've even had, you know, the pastor's wife, which she's my aunt through marriage, tell me, you know, before I left, she said, Bella, if I would have known, I shared with her a little bit of what I went through. She said, if I would have known you were dealing with this, she said, like, I would have been there. She's like, I had no idea. And I didn't fault her for that. I wasn't open with them because I was so scared, you know, but going back to what helped was just, my coworkers. I kind of confided in some coworkers. I worked at a school at the time and they were all much older than me. Like they had grandchildren. They were all much older than me.
Lots of wisdom.
Yeah. And, I mean, they could tell when I would come in and I was having a bad day. And there was one I would really confide in. And they would just sit there and listen to me. One time she brought me a book to read, that really helped. I mean, I even talked to the school counselor there. It was a safe space for me where I knew, like, that wouldn't go anywhere because of, like, confidentiality laws. So she just sat there and listened to me. And that really, really helped at the time. Just not anybody that was going to judge me, but somebody that was going to sit there and say, no, like, I get it. Like, why that would be so hard. You know, kind of where you're coming from. I did have to, from when I did talk to the school counselor, because she is a mandatory reporter, she did have to, I think she had to tell the principal. I'm not really sure the chain that went through. I just remember I was just numb. My husband had to come get me from work, which shout out to his boss at the time because he was so forgiving of him just having to leave. And I did have to end up going to the doctor and seeing them. And they, as soon as I walked in, they just wanted to put me on medication.
Yeah.
And I was like, it's my first time seeing you. And I told her no. She's like, well, you're not going to get better. And I was like, I'm not taking medication right now. Not that I'm opposed to medication. I'm 100% not opposed to it. I just, at that moment, I knew it wasn't the right step for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so, anyways, going back to what helped is somebody that was going to be there, help almost be a voice for me, like that counselor. She kind of helped open that door up. And, you know, the people that paid for counseling, they help open up a door.
Yes.
But yeah, something that didn't help is over-spiritualizing it. I just, when people would over-spiritualize, they'd be like, you know, the devil's just after you. And I'm like,
yeah, it's not helpful.
You know, it's like, you got to pray through your house, or you got to anoint your house. And I would get so frustrated with that, because it would make me feel like I wasn't holy enough, almost.
Like, you were doing something wrong.
Exactly. Yeah. And I knew that wasn't it. And so that was really frustrating. So I didn't, yeah, that just did not help. It would just make me more frustrated and mad, and make me almost like, in the time, like, I would beat myself up more. I'd be like, I'm not praying enough. Mm-hmm. I'm not reading enough. But at the time, I didn't have the strength to do that, to even read or pray.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about you, Brie? What are some things that helped you or didn't help you?
A lot of the similar things. I think I'll start off with things that were not helpful was people telling you what you should do and what you need to do. Mm-hmm. You know, someone telling you, well, you just need to go to a doctor, or you just need to do this, you just need to do that. That is overwhelming, first of all, because you don't even have the energy to get out of bed or, you know, do basic things that you should do in life.
Brush my teeth.
Exactly.
Think I'm going to go to a doctor.
So, if you know, telling somebody what they should be doing is very unhelpful.
Sure.
Instead, what is helpful, and what I wish, like, if I saw somebody in this position where I was, I would, if there cannot be an authority for themselves, I'm going to be the authority for them, or the advocate for them. Or I'm going to say, I'm going to come over to your house, and I'm going to help you with your chores around your house. I'm going to come over what day, Monday or Tuesday? You know, I'm going to give them 2 days. Monday or Tuesday, I'm coming over, and I'm going to do your dishes. And I don't care what your house looks like. I know you're going through a lot, and I'm going to come over and help you. Mm-hmm. Or, you know what, on Saturday after whatever, we're going to go on a walk together. So I need you to get your walking shoes on. I'm going to come pick you up, and we're going to go on a walk. We're going to get some fresh air outside. Or, you know, here's this great counselor. I've researched some people in your area. Here's counselors that I think would be really good for you. I can come over and help you decide who's best for you, or I can be on call with you.
Or like in Bella's situation, we've set the appointment. No,
yes,
you just
exactly.
go.
Yeah, yeah. I think helping somebody take the next steps instead of telling them that what they should do, but walking with them out of the depression.
Right. I think also kind of like to go off that, like, you know, when you're in it, you know, people always tell you, like, you know, we're here for you. Let us know if you need anything. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But you don't want to feel like a burden.
Right.
So kind of, well,
Brie, and you don't even know.
You don't know what you need.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So kind of like what you're saying, you're like, okay, I'm going to do this one of these 2 days. So I'm going to give you an option. When do you want me to come over? You know, and it's like, oh, she's serious. Like, she really does want to help me. So,
and it helps people not feel so alone too. It's
exactly,
like, I'm seen. And I think that in the state that I was too with my husband, he would make me feel seen, where I felt so alone. And I was like, nobody understands what I'm going through, which everybody does, you know, if they've experienced it before.
Yeah, sure.
But that's your thoughts. It makes you feel like nobody's gone through this. Nobody understands
crazy.
Where I'm at. Yeah, yeah. All these thoughts are crazy, and I'm crazy for having them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nobody's going to get it.
They're going to put me in the hospital because
exactly.
I'm having these thoughts. Yeah.
But if somebody can come alongside of you and say, you're not crazy, and I understand what you're going through, and there's a light at the end of the tunnel, and I'm going to be here with you. I also think it's really helpful when people send scriptures, you know, and just say, I am praying for you. Here's an encouraging word for you today.
Yes.
You know, it doesn't have to be a huge act of, you know, doing something for them, but just an encouraging text and saying, I love you, and you are worthy, and, you know, sending them scriptures that.
Or a song.
Yeah. Yes.
A song. I remember at the time when I was dealing with it in Tennessee, I had people, like, there was one time I was at work. I think it was the time I talked to the counselor. I can't remember. I was just in a very dark space, and I had made up in my mind that I was just, again, this terrible person. I was going to go home, and I was going to harm myself. And I remember just walking around with this dark heaviness in, like, around the hallways. And actually, somebody that lives there in Tennessee, she had no idea what I was going through. But she sent me the most, like, encouraging text, saying she was praying for me, saying she had a burden for me.
Yeah.
And I remember being in the hallway and just crying, because when you're in that moment, in those moments, it feels like God is so distant.
Yeah.
You know, you feel so alone, and you feel like, God, where are you? Like, I called your name, like, you're supposed to heal me. What's wrong with me?
Yep.
But then God shows himself through people, through other people, right?
Yes.
So I would receive texts like that, like, even people from here that had no idea what I was going through, that would just text me saying, hey, I'm praying for you. hey, like, I love you. And, like, when I would get those texts, I would share it with my husband, and I'd be like, God is clearly in this. And that would be so encouraging. So I would encourage people that are listening to this, if you ever feel impressed, to text somebody a word of encouragement.
Yes. Go ahead,
or even
girl.
Go up to them and speak a word of encouragement. Mm-hmm. Do it. Even if you think you're going to look silly or goofy, or, you know, even if you think like, oh, maybe this isn't God, an encouraging word never fails. Mm-hmm. It's always a good thing. And you don't know what it's going to do for somebody. I mean, for me, that encouraging text that I received, like, it meant the world, and it changed my mind in that moment. So when I went home, I was at peace.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I didn't go home and do what I had initially planned to do.
Right.
Because, you know, that person was sensitive to the Spirit.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
they said, I'm praying for you. God sees you.
You will never regret following the voice of God.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And I think, too, just for a little bit of educational purposes, right? So we've all been in that space. So we know that one of the big symptoms, if you will, of being in a depressed state is you feel as though your body doesn't work right.
Yeah.
And so then, therefore, something is messed up. Mm-hmm. My joints would ache, like extremely ache, but there was nothing wrong with them. Mm-hmm. We got, you know, we would go to a joint specialist, all of this, and I would just ache. My body would just ache. So things like that. So your body is manifesting things that aren't true.
Exactly. Yeah.
So it would only make sense that your brain would do the same thing.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. So your brain is telling you you're having thoughts of you're not worthy. You know, like I would believe complete lies to be the truth.
Exactly. Right. Yes.
You know,
felt
and so
real.
Yes. It is. It does, and it did. So it is. Yeah, it did. And I think for me, a large part of that, for what helps me, is having that circle of friends.
Yes.
Having
yes.
that support system. Yep. So you both have mentioned that, and I just want to hone in on that. So I had 5 people that knew about my situation, knew about where I was at, how I was going, all of that. And I would reach out to them. And what was neat is one of them lived not in Arizona. Mm-hmm. And rather than saying where, not in Arizona. And when I felt that overwhelming, like, I'm such a burden, I'm not, like, my husband doesn't deserve me, I'm a horrible daughter, you know, I was getting all of those things. I could reach out to this person out of state via text. Mm-hmm. And every time this person would say, oh, no, lies. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about truth.
Exactly.
That's good.
And I would be like, what is truth? And they would just hammer away. Your husband loves you.
Yes.
Your mother and father love you. Your girls love you. You're worth this. You're worth that. And just making statements of fact.
Yes.
Simple
statements. Exactly. Yeah. Because when you're in that state, you know, I'm worthless is a fact to you. Like,
it is.
You know, you're better off without me is a fact.
It's so hard to discern what the voice, you know, what the voices that you're hearing, the hard things that you're hearing. Is that really how people view me? Is that really who I am?
It's just, it's so real. So having that person, for me, it was mainly my husband. I had a few other people, but just kind of bringing you back to earth.
Yes.
You know, kind of grabbing you and just like, no, this is what the truth is.
And a counselor, a therapist will call it your grounding mechanism.
Yeah.
And we'll teach you, you know, like 4 different points and 4 ways to breathe, you know, and all of this. And that's what I think is great about counseling, is it gives you mechanisms to cope and tools to cope. Yeah. But a lot of times, at least in my situation, I had to get on medicine to help me get to the point where I could get out of bed so that I would at least sit up and be on the Zoom call with the counselor. Mm-hmm. And not everybody has that story. Yeah. Not everybody needs that.
Yeah.
And so that's why I agree. I think that you have to really have that support system to help you know what's best for me right now.
Mm-hmm.
My husband was a great advocate for me when I was in my moments of, you know, should I do this? And he's like, there have been times I've been on medicine that was not good. Mm-hmm. It did not work for me. And I was the one that told, one time I told a psychiatrist that they needed to maybe I shouldn't say exactly how I said it, but basically in a matter of words, I told them stop pushing meds on me just because they get paid extra for it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I told them this isn't working for me. This and this and this is happening. And as soon as I said this phrase, then she was like, oh my goodness, I'm so sorry. I had no idea. I wish you would have told me sooner. Yes, we need to wean you off of that. This, and then she's in my corner.
Sure.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But you know, sometimes you have to call them out, and I pray nobody else has that type of experience. Yeah. But I think it's more common than we want to, to admit. Some things I think that I would like to tap into just for our audience is the idea that depression symptoms can show themselves in multiple ways, okay? Yeah. And because of multiple things. So to be clear, and I wrote just a little bit here, there is clinical depression, okay? And then there is the symptoms of depression that are based on other health issues. Mm-hmm. So we could have that. Or sometimes it can be situational issues, transitional issues, things of that nature. It can be traumatic events. Mm-hmm. You know, we both know of people that have gone through extremely traumatic things in their life. And so because of that, there's a PTSD issue or a depression issue of some sort. Sure. Again, not as their professional, but just as their friend.
Yeah.
And trying to be there to support them. There's also side effects of prescriptions. Mm-hmm. They're side effects of hormones, of having a baby. They're side effects of menopause. Mm-hmm. You know, there's all these different things, you know, and we're all women right here. So that's why I kind of bring that up, you know, but I think it's important that men are going to go through different things that might cause these symptoms, whether it be health issues, mental issues, you know, whatever that might be. So anyway, someone listening might think, oh man, this is what's wrong with me. You know, I've got three of the things they've already labeled, you know, da 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 da. This is what's wrong with me. Hold the phone or, you know, like, hang on, pause the YouTube, you know, clear your mind. All right. We're not saying there's anything wrong with you. We're trying to express our experience. If you do feel like, if somebody is feeling like maybe this is something that they should look into, or I have been kind of putting this off. You know, there's no better time like the present to call your doctor and have a conversation.
Yeah,
you know, just have a conversation, find out, reach out to your doctor and see who they reference for counseling. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe reach out to, you know, your local pastor. Do they have references? I know here at Life Church, we provide references for counseling, whether it be for marriage or personal or children or teens. You know, we do have a few references here. Mm-hmm. You know, so we can't be afraid to reach out and ask for help. Hopefully, you know, you know, we've already talked about how hard that is, but I don't want someone just to hear this and then say, this is what I have. I therefore need to go get my medicine or go get my counseling.
Yeah.
Well, maybe if you go get counseling because you think it's this and something else might come up, and then you get help. And so, yay. but I do also want to put a plug here too. I'm in my 40s. I know it's very sad. So I think women, I think women that are in their 40s, you know, even early 40s, you know, we have to be careful because a lot of things are happening in our bodies and shifting in our bodies that is very, you know, natural. You know, menopause is a real thing. I hate to say that, but there it is. And so we need to be going to hormone specialists.
Sure.
We need to be getting full panels, not just my primary physician panel. And I'm on my soapbox right now, so y'all forgive me, but I also need to know, like, what are my hormones doing? How are they affecting me? Because here's the thing, ladies. So we can be all taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Oh, I'm past it. I don't have it anymore.
Yeah.
It's not there anymore. And that could be the truth. That could be. But there's things in our lives. Like if I'm reliant on a small dose of medication to help me each day, but other things in my body are going wrong, my chemical balancing is changing. And so if at the end of all of your journeying, you know, on your health, whether mental or physical, you find that medication is the answer for you, it's not the end all.
Right. Exactly.
You still have to stay on it. It's and the same is true with building boundaries in your mind and learning through counseling how to take thoughts captive beautifully. If you have a Christian counselor, you know, they can really integrate those scriptures in for you. But they're boundaries, but that doesn't mean they're there for good. Mm-hmm. I was telling someone this earlier that my grandpa had a farm. And he would mend fences almost every day. Mm-hmm. Some days he didn't have to, but he checked the fences every day. Mm-hmm. Almost every day, maybe not every day. Occasionally he took a day off, but he was checking those fences. Yeah. Here's the thing. If I'm not checking the fences in my mind, the boundaries in my mind, could easily collapse. Yeah, exactly. They could easily allow, I like to explain it as like the fog rolling back in, you know, and I've built these things in place to where I can control the fog. It's still there. Sure. I still have a diagnosis. I still have a mental health issue, but I have it in a controlled form.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Okay. But that is not, okay, now we're good. Now I can live normal. No, no, no. Mm-hmm. My new normal is every day, this is what I'm checking. This is what I'm looking at.
Yeah.
Every day. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important that even if we are giving a name to it, like postpartum or situational or whatever that might look like, you know, that we also aren't funneling in to only those scenarios.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Right. So I understand, and I'll just be real vulnerable, when I talk about it, I usually have an episode pretty soon after. And so I know that that is coming. That is something that my body, I'm on a high right now because I'm helping and I'm giving. And so my body naturally drops, but it drops below its normal state. And so I know to give myself space. And I know to give myself time, and I know.
You're very self-aware.
Yes, we have to be. And I go back to my, all of my things that I now have the motivation to do.
Yes.
Go outside.
Yes.
If you can't do anything else.
Get some sunshine.
If you can step outside and just take 10 deep breath in, breath out. It is amazing what oxygen and sunshine can do for you.
Yes.
If you can't do anything else, you know, try to drink water. If you can't do anything else, try to sleep, try to rest. You know, so you've got these, like, you know, I have like the top five is what I call it. And please interact and let me know if yours is different. But it's like, if at all possible, sleep. If at all possible.
I have an 8-month old, so
I know, that's why
I'm like a baby postpartum that was come and go.
So if at all possible, try to sleep. So I would schedule sleep around where I knew my husband could help me if the girls were needing something, because they were very, very young at the time. And so it's like, okay, this is his night to be home. I can go to bed at 8 o'clock. And so I would, and I wouldn't be on my phone, and I would be reading a book, or I would read the Bible, because it helps me fall asleep. you know, thank you, Lord. Same.
You're not alone.
You know, whatever. Yeah, I would definitely Exodus, Numbers, Deuteronomy.
Leviticus.
No, but my point being is, you know, there was a schedule there. There was something that, if at all I could keep on that night, I knew I was going to get a good night's rest.
I do something similar to that too with my
husband.
Okay, so sleep,
sunshine, if at all possible.
Yes.
Activity. Now that I'm in a healthy place, activity is so important for me.
Yes.
I'm walking. I'm parking way out there for the grocery store. I got to walk. I need my steps, not just for my physical health, but for my mental health.
Yep, every little bit counts.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I don't do a lot of sugar. Sugar does chaos for my brain.
Yeah, it does. I need it.
Oh, really? Okay, so yeah, sugar causes me to have massive episodes.
Really?
Yeah, in large quantities. So I can have, like, you know, a handful of M&Ms or something like that. That's fine. But I have to really, so then I have to be really careful on things that turn into sugar in my body.
Sure. See, that's so interesting, because, like, you wouldn't think that. Like, when you talk about depression, you know, you're not thinking about if I have too much sugar. But, you know, that's, it's true, because it all comes down to, like, chemical imbalances, hormones, all the things.
Your bloodstream, so, all of that.
Yeah. When and I was writing connected. A list
yeah, yeah.
about all the things that I did after I realized and accepted what I had, I wrote down a list of all the things that were helpful to me that I did personally. And all of those things that you've mentioned were on there, of like watching what I'm putting into my body. Is it good fuel for my body? You know, am I just eating carbs and sugar all day? Then I'm not going to feel great, you know. But if I can get a healthy assortment of a whole bunch of different food groups, or, you know, going outside, that was so helpful. Just being outside in the sunshine and drinking lots of water and moving my body after I felt more on top of it. I could move my body.
And
another thing was really helpful was making a to-do list for the day, of saying, even if it was basic things, I'm going to take a shower, I'm going to make breakfast, even if it's toaster waffles, you know, for my kids, and, you know, maybe do one chore. And if I can check off those things for the list, I feel so much better about my day.
Small and victories.
About yourself. It's small victories, mm-hmm. exactly. Yeah. You feel more in control.
Exactly. And you're like, you know, wow, I can really tackle something bigger.
Yes. Yeah.
I love that. Yeah. I think that's good. And that kind of goes into what my fifth one would be, and that's not only prayer, but meditation.
Yes.
And a lot of people, man, they just curl up their toes when I say meditation because they're thinking about kind of our world.
Empty
yeah.
mind.
Yes. Yeah. And that's not it at all, right?
No, yeah. Exactly.
We want to fill it with the things of God and empty ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Lord, take me out, put you in.
Yes.
And I think we really have to look at scripture for that, right?
Yes.
So meditation is so passive where praise is so active.
Yeah.
And so I do want to have the energy to praise. And so therefore my passive side, the meditating, and I would even... there is Christian meditation music out there, y'all.
Yeah.
It's just instrumental. And I will sit in the sunshine, like through my window. I did this actually just recently because I was having a horrible week. Uh-huh. And I knew it was because I was spiraling into an episode. Mm-hmm. And so I took a pillow. I sat on the pillow. I just relaxed my whole body. And yes, it does kind of look like a weird pose, but it is very comfortable. And let the sun shine in the window on me. It wasn't an extremely hot day. And my husband loves a cold house anyway. Ugh. So I had my blanket. Yes. It's a heated blanket. It was plugged in. The sun is shining down on me, and I just started thanking the Lord.
Mm. Yes.
Yep. Anything I could think of to be thankful for, I was thanking him for the four walls that were surrounding me, for the ceiling, that the fact that it doesn't leak when it rains. Like, I was just allowing my mind to travel to all the grateful things. Here's the thing, though. You start thinking about something else. You get distracted.
Yeah.
Like, no, you refocus. Right now I'm meditating. I'm feeling only you. I'm thinking only you. Maybe I hear something that the dog is doing in the other room. I'm like, no, no, focus.
Yeah. Groceries,
laundry.
Yeah.
Baby.
Yeah.
Yes, the beeper going off on the microwave because I forgot. I left my coffee, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
So, but that's something that I think is also really, really helpful, is taking into account that I am not, as a Christian, being filled with Christ, I am not meant to have chaos in my brain.
Right. Yes.
That is not what's been meant for me. Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's 2 Timothy. Yes, 2 Timothy. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Sound mind, it also can be referred there and defined there as self-control.
Mm-hmm.
Because what does it take for you to bring your mind into subjection?
Yep.
Yes.
Self-control.
Yeah.
Yep.
Self-control. That's right. Discipline. Self-control. Like, I hate those words. But I would say this. Something that really, really helped me on my journey was my mother's book. And it is Be Anxious for Nothing. I think both of you have this.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Be Anxious for Nothing by Gayla Boffman.
Yes.
This was not in book form when I needed it. Mm. It was a manuscript. And she had created it years before for a lady that was connected with her when they built a church over in Peoria, Arizona, many, many years ago. And when I got sick, my mom, God spoke to my mom and said, you need to finish your book. It's time to publish and give it to Miranda. And so she gave it to me, and it was just a stapled stack of pages.
Yeah.
And it was, those pages are worn and torn and all kinds of things. But what it is, for those that don't know, is it is a book specifically based on scripture.
Mm-hmm.
And so here on the table of contents, and I don't know how long it's been since you guys have seen it, but it tells you different chapters that you can go to when you're feeling certain things.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. And if you're feeling like, I feel trapped, I feel anxious, I am suffering, I feel vulnerable, I need healing, I feel alone, I am tired, I want to die.
Am I losing my mind?
You go to that, you go to that chapter, and guess what? It's scriptures and her prayer.
So
that
good.
God gave her while she was writing these scriptures down.
Yeah,
so, and I have a ton of them tabbed that I love the most, but be strong and of good courage. When I'm afraid of my own self, when I'm afraid of the things around me, even if it's not depression, I can still be afraid.
Yeah.
We're all afraid at one point. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. The Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, not forsake thee.
Amen.
And you're finding this all throughout this book.
Yeah.
So that was a huge help.
Yeah.
Yes.
I remember opening that up. It's been a while, but I remember opening it up and just seeing all the, I feel like this, I feel this, I feel this. And I would just find the page and I would go to it. And it's just,
There's nothing like this book.
It's awesome. It's telling you where to go, because mm-hmm. you said it earlier. How do I help? How do I help? Well, don't just say, what can I do for you?
Yes.
Yeah. I have done that, and I have been in depression, and I'm like, yeah. I don't know how to help you. How can I help you? And then I'm like, that was a stupid question.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, but sometimes, and here's my Bible that I've been using lately. It's a journal Bible. This is very overwhelming. When you're in an episode.
Yes. Cause
like, and when you're feeling down, you're like, okay, you told me to go to the Bible, but I can't.
Okay.
Like, what am I supposed to get?
Right? Yes. Like, just open it up, and then it doesn't make any sense. And you're like, you're not talking to me.
The one I opened
There's
it
just
up.
So many bad some things that could happen. Yeah. So, yes, absolutely. Go just to your go Bible. To but this book is helpful because it brings the scriptures to meet the need.
Yes.
Rather than you looking for the scriptures amongst all the needs.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So,
yeah. So there's that. And then we talked about being grateful. Have you guys ever seen this?
No.
I haven't.
I've heard of that though. And I did do that like by myself. Like I had a journal.
So this is called the 1 Minute Gratitude Journal. I've had it for a few years. I haven't finished it yet, but it did put me in the right mindset.
Yeah.
That's good.
It helped me, and I just got this off Amazon. Thank you, Brenda Nathan, wherever you are out there. And it's super easy. Like, let me go to a blank page here. So see how easy it is? That's why it's just 1 minute.
Oh, that's cute.
Oh, I did something real easy. In a normal journal, and I would just lay in bed before, and like, today, this was good. This was, even if nothing good happened that day, I woke up, my husband got home safe from work. You know, I'm safe.
I have breath in my lungs.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think
writing
so
is such
helpful.
Good therapy.
Yeah.
Yes.
I journaled a lot when I was dealing with my anxiety and with my depression. I journaled a lot. It was a little bit easier to do it with my anxiety, because with my depression, I was just like, I just didn't want to do anything.
Yeah.
And so, I tried as much as I could, and it helps so much, because once you just put pen to paper, you just start going, because sometimes you can't speak really what's going on, but you can write.
Right.
You can write what's going on. And it's a good coping mechanism.
If that's
it
a
is.
Good
outlet.
Outlet. There
it's
you
a
go.
Good outlet. Yes.
Yeah. If you don't feel comfortable talking to somebody, at least you can write it down.
It's also so cool, because I still have those journals, and I can open them up, and I can be like, wow, look at what God did.
You
know,
that's
where it came from.
Look, I'm still here today. And it's just so cool to be able to look back, you know, and be able, you know, when I do fall into those moments, if I do, I can just, you know, remind myself, you know, I was able to get out of that deep, deep, dark hole.
Yeah.
And because I serve a never-changing God, if he brought me out of it, then he can bring me out of it
That's
now.
Right.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly. So if you have another episode, or you have another spiral moment, you know, and I think I want to just talk on that as we wrap up here today, and that is coming through it.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't happen overnight, did it?
No,
I wish it did.
No,
it took time.
Even after acceptance, it's not an overnight thing. It wasn't that I said it out loud and then I was like, oh, I'm healed.
Exactly.
It was still months and months and months of dealing with it, but making daily choices every day to set my mind on things above, and to take captivity those thoughts that were coming to harm me instead. And it was writing down scriptures on my mirror so I could say them out loud every day. And it was making daily small choices to say that God is in control, and I am not who my thoughts say I am.
Yes.
I think even like doing that, and I think you can maybe back me up on this, when you wake up and do that, you know, you might feel defeated. Like, I woke up and, you know, I said all these things. I read my Bible. I spoke truth. You know, why am I still feeling this way?
Yeah.
You just got to stick to that.
Yeah.
You have to be consistent,
yes.
even when it's
consistent
hard.
Faith.
Just keep going,
uh-huh.
keep going. And before you know it, you'll be on the other side. You'll be looking back, and you'll be like, wait, I feel so much better.
I think
better.
You don't
Where
even realize
no.
the transition between I have depression and I'm in the deepest, darkest hole to I'm feeling like myself again, you know?
Yes,
you don't
even
realize the transition, but it's the consistencies in the small things.
I love
that. What are you
that.
Putting
yes.
in? To come out.
What are you putting in? No, I think that's wonderful. And I love the advice. I love the suggestions. I love all of that. Thank you for sharing your experiences. Is there anything that maybe you didn't feel was said that you'd like to share before we end today?
For me, I know that I still go through small episodes of, you know, like where I have, you know, small moments. They're very small now. But because I now have the tools, right? And I sought help, I sought counsel. I can now quiet those thoughts so much better than I used to be able to. So even just recently, even like last week, even, you know, I was driving home. I don't know where I was. I just know I was driving home. My husband was driving and I was in the passenger seat. And I just, you know, had the thought of like, you're such a bad mom. And it's just, you know, and, it, you know, things just started coming. And I just said, no, I am a good mom.
Yes.
My baby's so happy. I love him. He loves me. Like, I just, I was able to take those thoughts captive, you know. And so I just want to encourage somebody out there, you know, if you're listening to this and you're going through something, that you, like Miranda said, you are not alone. And when you're, the enemy will try to make you feel like you're alone, but you're not. And there will be a day where you will be okay. You might not be completely healed, but God has a purpose for everything, and everything's going to be okay. And just don't give up, because better days are to come.
Amen.
Amen. And we'll end on that in Jesus' name.
Thank you so much for joining us on the LCI podcast.
You can listen more on our Apple Podcasts or Spotify, and be sure to subscribe on our YouTube channel, Life Church Presents, for more future content.
Again, thank you, and we'll see you next time.